All right, so what is this? Now, depending on your age, you might say that this is a pound sign or the number sign. You might even call it an octothorpe, which is what it was called when Bell Labs first put it on the telephone dial back in the late 1960s. But if you're under a certain age, you probably call it a hashtag. And a hashtag today is most commonly used to identify or to signify a search term, a term that a person wants to be able to search on some sort of electronic device like their telephone or maybe on a computer. And so hashtags are widely used on social media platforms like Twitter or Instagram. And so earlier this week, I did an Instagram and Twitter search on the hashtag #BeWhoYouAre. Now, if you are at all familiar with social media, with Twitter, with Instagram, you can probably guess what I found, or at least some of what I found, when I searched for that term. A lot of it was about being proud of exactly who you are, no matter where it is you came from, no matter what it is that you've done, no matter what it is you look like, no matter how tall or short, wide or skinny you might be, no matter your orientation, identification, or preferences. Now, depending on how familiar you might be with the Bible, or with the gospel message, or with what we teach here at this church on some of the issues that hashtag has been used to speak to, you might be surprised to see that hashtag as the title of a sermon in this church. You might be thinking that the message, "Be who you are," or hashtag, "Be who you are," is one of the last things that we would ever want to promote here. And you would be wrong. And this morning, I'm going to show you why. We're studying the book of Ephesians. This is a letter that was written by Paul, who is the great missionary and pastor and church planter, apostle. And it's a letter that he wrote to a bunch of Christians who were living in the city of Ephesus, which is located in modern-day Turkey. And he wrote them in order to teach them about God and all that God had done for them. But he also wanted these Christians to know what it is that God expected of them. And so his letter to them included a series of commands that outlined things that they were supposed to do or things that they were not supposed to do. And so this morning, we are going to look at five commands that Paul gave to the Ephesians to follow. And then we're going to see why, if Paul were alive today and were on Twitter or Instagram, he just might very well have used that hashtag. And then we're going to consider why hashtag be who you are is actually something that all of us should get behind today as well. So if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, or you don't have a Bible app on your phone or tablet, would encourage you to grab one of the red Bibles that's there in the row in front of you. And if you're using one of those red Bibles, we're on page 1819. And that's Ephesians chapter 4. And if by chance you do not own a Bible but would like one, we would love to give you one. You can take one of those red ones, make it your own. And that way you can read it not just on Sundays when we're here, but you can also read it during the week as well, which we would love to have you do, because as Taylor reminded us at the end of the scripture reading this morning, these are God's words to us. So, Ephesians chapter 4. All right, Paul here gives the Ephesians five commands that he wants them to follow. Now, in the text that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see five commands that Paul has for the Christians who are living there in Ephesus. And so we are going to look at them. And so let's get started with the first one. And the first command that he has for them is to put off falsehood and to put on truthfulness. Look at verse 25. Paul writes to them, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Now, anytime you are reading or studying the Bible and you see the word therefore, you are supposed to ask yourself, that's right, what is it there for? Well, Paul here begins with therefore because he is linking what he is about to say with what he has just said previously. Last week, we looked at Ephesians 4, 17 to 24, which is actually also part of what Taylor read to us this morning. And in that text that we looked at last week, Paul tells the Ephesians to stop thinking and living like non-Christians. And in order to do this, he tells them to put off the old self, their old values, habits, and beliefs, and to put on the new self, a new set of values, beliefs, and habits, all the while telling them to invite God to renew their minds as they put off the old and they put on the new. And so this is what Paul is referring to here in verse 25 when he starts with the word therefore. The very general command that we looked at last week to put off and to put on is now applied. He is now going to apply them to a very specific series of commands that we're going to look at this week. And so the first of these commands is put off falsehood and put on truthfulness. Now, falsehood is anything that misleads people. And Paul is telling them to stop lying to each other. They are not to speak in ways that cause deception. Even if what they're saying is technically true, if they're saying it in such a way that the intent is to have the other person reach an inaccurate or incorrect conclusion, that is falsehood. And Paul tells them to put that off, to stop doing that, and instead to put on truthfulness. And so they should say what they mean, and they should mean what they say. Now notice that Paul here also gives them a reason why this command is important. They need to put off falsehood and put on truthfulness because, he says, they are all members of one body. And so they need to tell the truth because falsehood hurts their community. And he's talking about the church. God has put them into a new community, into the church. And deception is something that always causes harm, not just to individuals, but to the community as a whole. Now, this concern for community and how obeying or not obeying these commands, how these things affect the community, is actually going to be a reoccurring theme in this passage. And so I want you to keep your eyes out for it as we continue to look at each of these commands. All right, the second command that he gives them. He tells them to put off the sin that comes from anger and to put on peacemaking. So look at verse 26. He writes to them, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." And so Paul here tells the Ephesians to put off the sin that comes from anger. But notice there, he doesn't just tell them to put off anger. In fact, it is possible to get angry and to not sin. In fact, there are some things that a Christian should get angry about. I mean, Christians should get angry when they see or hear about people who are being taken advantage of, especially people who are particularly vulnerable, the young, the poor, the old, those who have little power. Christians should get angry when they see these kinds of injustices perpetrated against others. I mean, after all, these are things that make God angry. And so they should make us angry as well. The problem, though, for us is that oftentimes our anger then leads to sin. And that's what Paul is telling them to put off. Our anger will oftentimes lead to words or actions or decisions that don't reflect what God is like. And so Paul tells the Ephesians here to put off the sin that comes from anger. And he tells them to not let the sun go down while they're still angry. And so, in essence, he's telling them to put on peacemaking. He's telling them to seek reconciliation. He's telling them to be active, intentional peacemakers, to go out and seek it, to seek to have conflict resolved. And notice the reason that he gives here. Paul says, don't give the devil a foothold. Paul's telling the Ephesians that anger, especially festering anger, creates opportunity for the devil. Festering anger makes it easier for the devil to tempt someone to do or to say something wrong. A person's festering anger is an opportunity for the devil to do harm to a church community. And the sin that comes from anger can so easily damage or divide a community. I'm sure you've seen that happen before. And so Paul tells them to put off the sin that comes from anger and to put on peacemaking. Third command, he tells them to put off stealing and to put on working. Verse 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And so Paul tells the Ephesians that if any of them are stealing, they need to put off that behavior and put on working for a living instead. Instead of taking from others, they're to be productive so that they can actually give to others. They are to be useful. They are to work. They are to put forth effort that creates value. But again, notice the community-focused reason that Paul gives for this command. They are to work not just so that they can meet their own needs or perhaps the needs of their immediate family. He actually tells them that they need to work so that they have something to share with others who might be in need. I mean, that is a strong community ethic that we see here in this text. Working hard so that I have enough that I can share with others. That leads us to the fourth command. Put off harmful speech. Put on beneficial speech. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So Paul here says, put off unwholesome talk. Now that may perhaps sound a little bit funny to your ears that he puts it that way. But what Paul is speaking of is any kind of speech that is harmful to others. And so it would include abusive or harsh language. It would include vulgar or rude language. Slander, contemptuous or scornful speech. It's any language that tears down and destroys people. And Paul tells them to put off any language like that. Instead, they are to put on ways of speaking that builds other people up. They are to put on ways of speaking that makes others better, happier, more secure. That is the kind of language that Paul here is telling them to put on. And again, we see the emphasis on community. He tells them to speak in ways that build others up according to what it is that they need. And so again, this is a command that's all about the good of others. It is speech designed for the benefit of those who are going to hear whatever it is that they are going to say. And with this command, Paul also includes a second reason to put off harmful speech, because it grieves the Holy Spirit. Speech that harms others, that is abusive, vulgar, slanderous, or scornful, deeply upsets the Holy Spirit. It deeply upsets God. And so they need to put it off, and they need to put on speech that benefits others. And this brings us to the fifth command, to put off bitterness and rage, and to put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So Paul lists bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice as things that they need to put off. And that is quite a list. I mean, it includes both internal attitudes as well as outward actions, and Paul tells them to put all of it off. And instead, they are to put on kindness and compassion and forgiveness. Now, Paul here does not speak of community directly, but clearly it is implied. I mean, to be kind or compassionate or to forgive requires that you have some sort of relationship with another person. Like with so many of the commands that we find in the Bible, these are commands that we can only actually obey if we're in community. Because so many of those commands speak directly to how we are to treat and love and serve others in a community. And Paul gives them a reason to put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. They are to forgive because God forgave them. They are to be compassionate because God was compassionate towards them. They are to be kind because God was kind to them. I mean, it was out of the kindness and the compassion of God that he sent Jesus so that they could be forgiven. So we have here five commands. Put off falsehood, put on truthfulness. Put off sin that comes from anger, put on peacemaking. Put off stealing, put on working. Put off harmful speech, put on helpful, life-affirming speech. Put off bitterness and rage, put on kindness and compassion and forgiveness. This is quite a list. But this is more than just a list of rules to follow. This is Paul saying, hashtag, be who you are. You see, Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians to reject who they were so they can become who they are. You see, all five of these commands are built around one central, all-important idea, and that is that as Christians, they have been given a brand new identity. They used to be the enemy of God, now they are the child of God. They used to be separated from God, now they've been adopted by God. They used to be alienated from God, now they are part of the family of God. And because of this is all true about them, he is telling them, stop being who you were and become who you are. Stop being who you were. Stop living and thinking like a Gentile and become who you are. Start living and thinking like a child of God. This is actually what Paul is getting at in the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5, which are also the final two verses in this text of scripture we're looking at. Look at verse 1 there. He writes to them, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So he writes to them, follow God's example as dearly loved children. He's saying to them, you are the dearly loved children of God. So follow God's example. Hashtag be who you are. These are also the words of God to us. These words that Paul wrote to the Christians living in Ephesus, God writes to the Christians here at DFBC. Hashtag, be who you are. You need to reject who you were so you can become who you are. To everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, to those of you who have repented of your sins and put your faith in the fully sufficient work of Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection, to each of you who looks to Jesus as your true rescuer and king, hear me well. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were alienated from God. You were bound as slaves in the kingdom of darkness. You were under the dominating influence of culture, a powerful spiritual opponent, and the evil inclination of your own broken heart. You were lost and without hope. But then God, who is being rich in mercy because of the great love which he has for us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he has made us alive together with Christ. And so hear me well. You were who were dead, you have been made alive. You who were alienated from God, you have been adopted into the family of God. You who were slaves, you have been set free to be holy and righteous. You who were lost and without hope, you have been rescued. And so be who you are. You are the specially chosen sons and daughters of the Most High God. So be who you are. Put off falsehood. Put on truthfulness. Be who you are. Put off sin that comes from anger and put on peacemaking. Be who you are. Put off stealing and put on working. Be who you are. Put off harmful speech. Put on helpful, life-giving speech. Be who you are. Put off bitterness and rage. Put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Be who you are. You are the specially chosen sons and daughters of the Most High God. Be who you are. Because, my friends, that is the ethic that we as followers of Jesus, that is the ethic that we are called to live out in our lives. Be who you are. But there are times when we do all come up short and we do fail at this. There are still times when what we speak is not the truth. And there are times when in our anger we do sin towards others. And there are times when we do take what is not ours to take. And there are times when we use our words to cut and to hurt and to wound others. And there are still times when what comes out of us is bitterness and rage. And while we are called to be who we are in Christ, it is also true that we have not yet fully become who we will be one day. And that is why all of us, including us Christians, still need Jesus and we still need the gospel. Because we need Jesus because he is the one who can take the old self that we struggle to let go. And he does take it from us, all of the lying and anger, the thievery, the harshness, the bitterness, and the rage. And he put it on himself. All of it. And he took it to the cross for us. And there it was paid for. And there its power over us was broken. Be who you are. And in exchange for all of our brokenness, Jesus gave us his righteousness for us to put on. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's true. But it is. And that is why, because of Jesus, you are a specially chosen son or daughter of the Most High God. And that is why you are called to be who you are. Now, the truth is, the old self, it can feel really comfortable, really familiar. the deception, the anger, the stealing, the harsh words, the bitterness and the rage. It can all feel really comfortable. But that is not who you are anymore. Jesus lived and died and lived again so that you do not have to wear the old anymore. You have been saved for better things than that. And so, my friends, put off the old and put on the new. Be who you are. Let me pray. Holy Father, we thank you for the scriptures that show us how it is that you want us to live. We thank you for Jesus who makes this new way of living possible. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to live in a new way. And we thank you for the church, our new community in which we live out this new way. We pray this in the name of the one who made all of this possible, Jesus Christ, our true rescuer and King. Amen.